come today to mourn his death. We came to celebrate his life. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for life this morning? Hallelujah. I'm thankful I'm here because of Jesus. Amen. I'm here today because of Jesus. Because I'm not sure where I'd have been had it not been for Jesus. Anybody else say the same thing in here this morning? I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. Hallelujah. But I'm glad I don't ever have to find out. Amen. I'm glad I don't ever have to find out where I would be without Jesus. I'm thankful for the power of the blood. I'm thankful for the power of Jesus in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it is so great to see you all here this morning. Welcome. And if you're a visitor here, just make yourself at home, and we are delighted to have you. Hallelujah. We don't really consider visitors and family. We're just all family. So thanks for being a part of our family this morning. Amen. And honoring us with your presence and trusting us with your Easter morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm blessed already. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm blessed already. I'm thankful for the worship and the dance and the music and the children and just an opportunity to just to be in his house and connect with the body. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said the other day, are we so grace-minded that we don't need the body of Jesus anymore and don't need to assemble together? I said, I sure hope not. I don't think we ever become that grace-minded, because I love coming together with the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the connection of bone to bone, that we are his body. Hallelujah. That we are joined together in him through Christ. And I'm thankful for every member of his body and every joint that supplies. Amen. Hallelujah. Even when we come together in a service like this, how many know there are a lot of joints supplying? Hallelujah. And the flow of his spirit is so powerful, I believe, when we come together, because I believe that when the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, then when those rivers come together, how many know when rivers start to come together and it builds and builds and its tributaries and streams and rivers and they all come together, how many know it makes one great big flow of water as we're joined together and one big body of water? Hallelujah, the flow of his spirit. Amen. Well, we've been talking the last couple of Sundays on Easter series. We've talked about foot washing, and we've talked about Jesus riding into the city, and we've talked about John 13 and 14, one of my favorite scriptures. And, you know, and I talk a lot about Peter, I guess, at the crucifixion time, but I think he's such a picture of all of us and the different life of Peter. But how many know Peter was a different man after the coming of the Holy Spirit? After the day of Pentecost, we see a different man stand up. And so I love how Jesus ministered to his disciples. How many know he did not even have a perfect crew of disciples? See, that gives me comfort. Jesus had 12 and they still even had problems. All right? So I'm comforted in that. But how many know Jesus was not bothered by their issues? And as a matter of fact, he knew and he told them before it even happened. He said, Peter, I know that you mean what you say, that you'll go to the cross with me. And I believe you mean that, Peter. Anybody ever made a promise to God and you meant every word you said, but yet when it came down to the tight wire or it came down to push come to shove, you didn't know if you was as strong as you thought you were. He said, Peter, I know it's in your heart to die with me. He said, but I just want to warn you that before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Now, once isn't bad enough. Two would have been bad enough. But three times, Peter, before morning. Hallelujah. But I love it. And King James draws a line between John chapter 13 and goes into chapter 14. But it's still Jesus speaking to the disciples. He said, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other translations said, you trust God, trust me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. How many know he's speaking that to his disciples? He wasn't preaching a funeral sermon when he used that scripture. He said, but don't let your heart be troubled. How many know heart trouble will cause you to fail? Heart trouble will keep you from functioning like you need to function. How many, heart trouble will keep you from breathing when you need to breathe. It'll keep you from walking when you need to walk. Hallelujah. How many know some of us need healing from our heart trouble? this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever had heart trouble? Hallelujah. And he said, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place is a place of forgiveness. It's a place that's called the Tree of Life. It's a place called Calvary. That where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. So there's some powerful scriptures connected to the resurrection, the death, the burial, resurrection. We will forever be figuring out what happened in 3 days and three nights. Amen. I really truly believe I am just coming to understand really what happened in those 3 days and those three nights at Calvary. Hallelujah. How many know when I was a little girl and I accepted Jesus, I thought I knew what it meant. And then when I was older and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I thought I knew what all of that meant. And then when I started to pastor, I thought I knew what all of that meant. And how many know now that I'm pastoring, I found out I really don't know what all of that meant. Come on with me. I really don't know what all of that meant because I'm coming to understand it's way more bigger. It's way more powerful than I ever thought it was. It's bigger than I ever imagined. It's deeper than I ever thought it could go. The love of Jesus is way more powerful, more bigger, more supernatural than I ever thought it could be. And what I really realize is how much I don't know about everything that he did in 3 days and three nights at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. How many know? But it was powerful. But it's such a picture. It was not just Jesus died for me. How many know he died as every man? When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. And when he got back up, you got back up. How many thankful that you have the power to get back up today? Anybody in here ever been cast down? Anybody ever been knocked down? Hallelujah. But we got the power to get back up because he got back up. Amen? Hallelujah. We got back up because he had the power to get back up. I want to go to my scripture this morning. And to the best of my knowledge, I have never preached from this verse on an Easter sermon. So we'll see how this rolls, all right? I'm going to go to Song of Solomon this morning. Hallelujah. How many know the lover is in the garden? The lover of my soul, my beloved, has come into his garden. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're going to go to Song of Solomon. How many know the Song of Solomon is the Song of Songs? It's about the king lover who loves the young maiden. Now, you find out in the first part of Song of Solomon that she describes herself. Okay, and she starts talking out, she's the Shulamite, and she starts to describe herself, and she says, I am black but comely, but she said, the sun has shone on me, and my own garden, my own vineyard, I have not kept. What she's really talking about is her own complexion. How many of the little Shulamite girl in the Song of Solomon is a working girl? See, Sabrina and I would pass as palace girls. Because we're, and Erin, she's in the club. They know what I'm talking about. They're in the Palace Girl Club because we are white girls and we don't get tan. We get burnt. We get white. We get burnt, but we don't get tan. Are you with me, girls? How many know this little Shulamite? What she's talking about is I have been working, working, working in the field and I've not kept my vineyard. So I'm darker than the other girls. I don't look as white as they do. I don't look as fair as those maidens. But the king lover catches sight of her, and he spends the whole book of Song of Solomon telling her just how beautiful she is. You think that you're back. You think that the sun has shone upon you. You think works and labor has marked you. But I want you to know you are altogether lovely, my fair one, my bride. And he begins to describe her, and he says her cheeks are like doves. And if you really want to get in some romantic talk, read the book of Song of Solomon, because they are serious about love. How many know your beloved this morning is serious about love? How many know love is a powerful force? You can conquer things through love that you can't conquer through hate. You can conquer things through love. You can't conquer through jealousy. You can't conquer through power. How many know being in love will make you do crazy things? Any crazy people in here this morning? Thank you, Jason. Hallelujah. Jason and Eileen, they're with me. They're crazy in love. How many know love will make you do crazy things? Did you raise your hand, honey? Did you raise your hand back there? I mean, it'll make you do crazy things. It'll make you drive in snowstorms that you wouldn't have done otherwise because you got rings to give out. Amen? It'll make you stay up and talk on the phone till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and knowing you got to get up and go to work at 6, but you're living on love. It'll make you not eat because you got butterflies. Is anybody in here in love today? Come on, somebody. Love is a powerful force. It's a driving force. If we ever harness the power or really realize the power of love, amen? If we really ever realize the power of love, because the scripture says that God is love. God doesn't love. God doesn't just show love. He is love. Outside of himself, there is no love because God is love. So Song of Solomon, he starts to say some things. And go ahead and bring it up for me, Carlin, if you would. Song of Solomon 2, 11 and 12. And then we're going to jump over and read it out of the Message version if we can. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now let's say that again. Somebody read it with me. Go back to verse 11. Can you go back to, there we go. For lo, come on, let me hear you. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. And this is where we stop and do a little praise dance. Praise break, somebody. How many are glad winter's over? How many are glad spring's on the way? How many are glad the flowers are appearing? How many are glad green is coming back? Gray is ugly, green is good. How many know there's all kinds of things that happen in the wintertime? How many know winter is a good season because even though it seems dormant in your life, there is something happening under the earth. And even though it might be a season in your life where it seems like it might be dormant, there's something happening inside of you. Hallelujah. I got some pots sitting under my deck in my backyard where nothing can get to them. No rain, hardly any sunshine. I opened my door this morning to see how warm it was outside. Them things are growing. They're, I can't think of the name of them. Hostas. In pots. Them things are growing despite their circumstances. Now, it looked like it'd be contrary for them. I was going to set them out, and when I set them out, they get some sunshine and they get some rain. And then those things just go crazy. But how many know, even in a season where it looks like circumstances have been contrary to them things growing, something's happening in their earth. Hallelujah. And how many know there are times in our life when it might seem seasonal? And it might seem like it's dormant, whether it's in our ministry, whether it's in our jobs, our homes, our relationships, our marriage. How many know there's sometimes when it just isn't as green as it was, or like it maybe seems like it needs to be. But then my beloved says, but lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Anybody ever heard the voice of a turtle? That's because a turtle doesn't have a voice. Really what it's saying there, the voice of the turtle dove. I hear the voice of my dove. I hear the voice of the dove this morning. Hallelujah. How many know there's sometimes in your winter seasons, you got to let the dove talk. Sometimes in your winter season, you got to start to hear the sound of the dove talk. How many know the dove is symbolic of the Holy Spirit? There was a dove that flew out of the ark when Noah when it was a rain and flood and the earth was being consumed by floods. How many know at the end of the rain, Noah sent out a dove? And when it came back one time because there was no place to land, but he sent it out again and it came out and it had an olive branch. How many know an olive branch is a symbol that there's life again? Hallelujah. Your storms are over. Your rain is over. Hallelujah. There's a sign of life. How many know Jesus was our olive branch? And that dove flew all the way over to the river of Jordan. And when Jesus stepped into the Jordan with John the Baptist, and he said, John, go ahead and baptize me that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. And when he did, the scripture said, and the heavens opened, and the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove, and it sent upon him, and the heavens began to speak and said, this is my beloved, hear ye him. I mean, he said, this is my beloved son, but I want you to know that's what the heavens say about you this morning. This is my beloved. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the dove has rested on my beloved. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I looked up something about that turtle dove, and did you know that turtle doves mate for life? If something happens to one of their mates, should one perish, it'll never take another to itself. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that you're hearing the verse of the turtle dove this morning? There is no one else like you. There's not another. There's not a second choice. But hello, bride. Hello, bride. Hallelujah. He said the voice of the turtle dove is beginning to be heard in our land. Hallelujah. And it uses squill leaves on its nest to keep wolves away. Hallelujah. Squill leaves on its nest. It's a very fragrant medicinal bulb. It makes a nest out of squill leaves, and wolves will not come to harm the nest of the turtle dove. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that his protection is over us this morning? You know, when we did the sermon on Jesus said that I am the door of the sheep. You remember that? And we talked about the door of the sheep, and we brought some sheep up here. Amen? And then Caleb was our shepherd. And what we did is we put all the sheep in the sheepfold, and then the shepherd came up, and he laid down in front of the sheepfold. Because what a shepherd would actually do, he literally would become the door to the sheepfold. So that if the wolves tried to get in, you got to get through me before you can get into the sheepfold. I love that this morning. I love the picture of my shepherd that laid down his life for me, that I could have life. And then with the wolves or the thieves or the robbers would try to come against my sheep, you're going to have to go through me first. Hallelujah. You're going to have to go through me first to get to my sheep. You know, I was thinking about the scripture the other day, and it's the scripture where there's the woman who's taken in adultery, and they bring that woman, hallelujah, and they, come here, Kelly, let me use you, and Monty, you come up. you're not the woman, you get to be the Pharisee.
Thank you.
And so what we have here is he finds her and he says, we have found her in the very act, and our law says we should stone her. What do you say? Now, chances are you're going to be down there. Can you just get down on the floor? So chances are he doesn't bring her standing up. He brings her and throws her at the feet of Jesus. I get to be Jesus. Jesus. And he throws her down here, and he makes accusations to her, against her. And he said, the law says that we should stone her. What do you say? But here's what I love, because the scripture said, and Jesus, stooping down, said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Because the only way he's going to throw a rock at her is to go through me first. How many know if you're going to get to her, you're going to have to get through me first. When Jesus lays his life down at the cross up here as the shepherd, he said, if you're going to get to my sheep, you're going to have to get to me first. How many know when he went to the cross of Calvary, he took my stoning. He took my beating. He took my bruising. He took my wounding. He took my stripes. He took my guilt. He took my shame. He took everything that I had. And he said, if you're going to get to them, you're going to have to get through me first. Hallelujah. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a powerful concept when we think about literally, he is my protection from the wolves. He literally laid down his life for me as my shepherd, so that anything that's going to get to my sheep are going to have to go through me first. Hallelujah. That's powerful. How many know that's love? That's the voice of the dove. That's the voice of my beloved that I hear in the garden. Go ahead and verse 2, Carlin, and to give me 8 through 14 in the Message Bible. Look, listen, there's my lover. Do you see him coming? Vaulting the mountains, leaping the hills. My lover is like a gazelle, graceful. Aren't you glad that he's full of grace? Graceful means he's full of grace. My lover is graceful. He's like a young stag, virile. Look at him there on tiptoe at the gate, all ears, all eyes, ready. My lover has arrived and he's speaking to me. Get up. My dear friend, fair and beautiful lover, come to me. Look around you. Winter is over. The winter rains are over and gone. Spring flowers are in blossom all over. The whole world's a choir and singing. Spring warblers are filling the forest with sweet arpeggios. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again. Is that where? That was the one in Genesis we're talking about Noah there. Hallelujah. And so he calls her to come to him. And he woos her and says, that's my, and she says, that's my beloved. And he's full of grace. Lilacs are exuberantly purple and perfumed. I love the lilacs at this time of year. You don't even have to see them, but you can smell that their fragrance is there. Cherry trees fragrant with blossoms. Oh, get up, dear friend, my fair and beautiful lover. Come to me. Come, my shy and modest dove. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. That's the kind of talk that I believe that our lover, our beloved, speaks to us. And how many know when you find the beloved, he's in the garden? He's in the garden. Now, we talked about this before. It started in a garden. The curse happened in the garden. Jesus deals with the curse of the garden in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he's crucified on the cross, and he ends up back in the garden in a borrowed tomb because he only needed it temporarily. Hallelujah. And so he begins to speak to her and woo her. He says to his disciples, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But he says to her, get up, my love, and come to me. I want to tell you this morning, he got up. And you can get up too. Amen. Because he got up, you have resurrection life. I mean, you know, there are some times when you need some supernatural power to get back up. Amen. Sometimes you need some supernatural Jesus. Hallelujah. We need some come to Jesus moments where we focus on the internal supernatural power of the Holy Spirit inside of us more than our actions, more than our thoughts, and more than our deeds. Amen. Hallelujah. So it compels her to get up. Hallelujah. How many know the dove was the sacrifice of a poor man in the temple? If you couldn't afford a lamb, they would provide a dove for you. Hallelujah. And the spirit and the bride say, come. Psalm 61 and 2 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How many know sometimes when we are overwhelmed in life by things, we need to focus on the rock who is higher than I. Not just the rock, the stone that the builders rejected, who has become the chief cornerstone. But how many know sometimes you got to focus on the rock that's been rolled away? The stone that's been rolled away. Hallelujah. So go to John chapter 20 and verse 1 through 23. And we're going to read that this morning. John chapter 21 through 23. This is probably one of my favorite versions of the resurrection story out of the Gospels. Each of the Gospels have a little bit different version of the resurrection story and also of the Christmas story. But it says, "The very first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, They have taken away my Lord out of the sepulchre and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeing the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and he saw and believed." Now hold there for just a minute. How many know this is the third day? And most of them have witnessed and seen the brutality and everything that has happened to Jesus in the last 3 days, 4 days, in the time of the beatings, the accusations, the crucifixion. How many know Mary Magdalene is coming to the tomb to anoint a dead body? She's coming to mourn over her Savior. She's coming to mourn over the person she's come to love in this series of time. And how many know she gets there and she sees that the stone's rolled back and he's not there? And as most of us do, our mind goes to what is probably wrong instead of going to what is right. Amen? I mean, sometimes we look at situations and we always pick the bad end of what we think went wrong instead of looking to see what is right. How many know the scripture is not about pointing out what is wrong with you? It's about pointing out what is right with you. What he's done in you, what he's made you right in, how he's made you righteous. If we're not careful, we'll still look into the empty tomb this morning and look at all the things that are wrong instead of all the things that are right. How many know he made us right? He set us upright. Hallelujah. He did some incredible things in the cross. But if we don't understand it, we'll look at it in mourning instead of look at it in rejoicing. And so they go back to the disciples and they said, "They have taken my Lord. Someone has removed my Lord out of the picture, and I don't know what they've done with Jesus. Jesus is missing." I don't know about you, but I've heard lots of sermons where Jesus is missing. I went there and I wanted to have the anointing of my Lord, and yet he was missing. He was absent. He wasn't there. How many know our sermon should be so full of Jesus, there's no room for anything else? And she gets there and she said, "Guys, Jesus is missing. Someone has taken Jesus." And so she goes to get Peter and John. And I'm sure Peter and them or someone in the state thinking, "Great. Which, when you thought it wasn't going to get any worse, it gets worse." Come on. And so they get to the tomb, and history tells us and the scripture tells us that John outruns Peter, and the thought is that John is younger than Peter. So run, Peter, run. John gets there first. Maybe there's a little bit of hesitation from Peter, because he's still dealing with a little bit of denial. And he's still dealing with a little bit of, we talked about this a couple Sundays ago. Jesus says to Peter, eye to eye, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust me. You trust God? Trust me." But when Peter denies the Lord and the rooster crows, and the third time he says, "I do not know him," the scripture tells us that Jesus turns and looks at Peter in the eye. Now, you can say that he's full of remorse. You can say, Jesus, you know, you can read into that whatever you want to, but here's what I think happened. He looked at Peter in the eye the same way he did that night to call to Peter's remembrance, do not let your heart be troubled. Remember what I told you, Peter. Don't take your eyes off of me. Hang on. If you can hang on a little bit more, don't let your heart be troubled. So Peter runs to the tomb because he's got some unfinished business. Amen? He's got some unfinished business to deal with. He gets to the tomb. They look inside, and ultimately they both end up going in. And it says, and they see the grave clothes lying and the napkin over to the side by itself. Now, Wednesday night we talked about 100 pounds of spices that they brought, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus brought to embalm and to anoint the body of Jesus and to wrap him and to prepare him for burial. They said it was a phenomenal amount of ointment and spices. Nobody ever uses that amount unless you're anointing a king. So they used this phenomenal amount of ointment and spices, but what it literally would do is they would wrap them up strip after strip, just like Lazarus was wrapped up in a tomb. Strip after strip. And when they would apply those spices and those balms and those oils layer after layer after layer, it literally would encrust them in a cocoon-shaped form. You understand what I'm saying? So that after that dried, if you was to knock on that, it would be firm and stiff and hard. Like, I'm always thinking, like, you know, you see this pile of unwound garments. No, what they see when they look into that tomb is the shape of the Lord's body laying complete to his form, but no body inside. How many know you did not slip him out of there in the night? The only way you're going to get him out of there is to cut him out of there. They didn't just unwound him. And it said when they saw the linen clothes lying, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was indeed risen. How many know somebody did not come in the night and unwound him? Hallelujah. And somehow I think in my mind they had to go back to the moment where Jesus saw the weeping of Mary and Martha and those who had experienced death. And he said, show me where he lays. And they said, Lord, I don't know what you're thinking about, but he's been dead 4 days. And he stinks. He stinks. How many know death just stinks sometimes? If you've ever had to look death in the face, it just stinks. And so he said, roll away the stone. And when they do, Jesus cries out with a loud voice and says, Lazarus, come forth. How many know there's got to be a memory, a thought, and somehow in John and Peter's mind when they said, wait a minute, I've seen resurrection life happen before. Yep. Hallelujah. And so they see the empty tomb. Go ahead. Verse 9, Carlin. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. How many know they got a picture of the mercy seat? The angels, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And they say unto her, woman, why are you weeping? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. They have removed him from this scene, and I don't know where they've put him. Yep. Hallelujah. How many know there's been a whole lot of removing him out of the picture over the years? And I don't know where they put him. 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, beloved, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Where was our beloved? In the garden. Saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him, or I will take him away. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, my master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. How many know she is in the garden and she hears the voice, she sees somebody and she said, sir, if you've taken away my Lord, can you tell me where you've laid him? Can you tell me where they've put him? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus came to put the curse in reverse? And when he put those out of the original Garden of Eden, it said he put a cherubim, a flaming sword, at the entrance of the garden to keep the way to the tree of life. I come to tell you this morning that the cross is a tree of life for us. It's the tree of life for us. Hallelujah. And I'm sure there's many expressions of the tree of life, but how many know he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so she, supposing him to be the gardener, he says to her, Mary, don't touch me yet. Don't try to hold me here. Don't try to hold me to the state that you see. There's bigger and greater things ahead. Go ahead and start telling people. Go back and tell them the story of what you know. Go ahead and tell them that I'm alive. Go ahead and tell them that I'm victorious. Go ahead and tell them I got up. You can get up also. Hallelujah. And he sends her back to tell them that all is well. Bring up Song of Solomon 6, 1 through 3 for me. Hallelujah. How many know the dove speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life? It speaks of the bride. It speaks of that union with Christ. How many know we are the bride of Christ? We are his beloved. Hallelujah. And he said, whither is my beloved gone? How many know this is what I think Mary Magdalene is saying in the garden? Where is my beloved? What have they done with him? And where have they taken him? Where is my beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? People are asking, where is your beloved? We want to seek your beloved. My beloved is going down into his garden. Supposing him to be the gardener. My beloved is going down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens together the lilies. How many know lilies speak of resurrection life? I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine, and he feeds among the lilies. Hallelujah. I believe Mary came to the tomb that day and said, where is my beloved? Sir, if you've seen my beloved, could you just tell me where he is? Could you tell me where my beloved has gone? And the response in the scripture says he's gone into his garden. Because in the garden, you're going to find there's resurrection life. He's not here, Mary. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's not here, Mary. He's alive. How many know our beloved has come into his garden? If you go back and read the scripture for that, it says the beloved has come into his garden. He has eaten of his spices. And he has eaten of the honeycomb, and milk and honey are under her tongue. It's very explicit, very powerful scripture of the romance, of the love of our beloved to his bride. Hallelujah. How many know we didn't come here today to search for him because we can't find him? We come here today to look for and recognize and be joined with people who are in like company, that are joined to their beloved, who understand they got resurrection life inside of them. Do you realize that today? You have resurrection life inside of you. We didn't come to mourn a dead Savior. We come to celebrate life. Hallelujah. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is being heard in our land. Hallelujah. If ever there is a time that we need to hear the voice of our beloved, the voice of our turtle dove, who will never take another but us. Hallelujah. He'll never take another. There's a whole lot of voices in the earth today. Amen? There's a whole lot of voices in the earth today. I want to hear only the voice of the turtle dove. I want to hear only the voice of my beloved. And the sound of my beloved is sweet, it's soft, it's eternal. Hallelujah. And it's full of resurrection life. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Hallelujah. How blessed we are. How blessed we are that know that we can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That He knows all about me and He loves me anyway. That's powerful, because His love is more powerful than my faults, my failures, or anything I would observe myself to be. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you, by the end of Song of Solomon, he convinces her how beautiful she truly is. Hallelujah. He convinces her of how beautiful she really is. If we could ever see ourselves like our beloved sees us. Amen. If we could ever see ourselves as our beloved see us. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know the voice of your beloved, of your lover is a powerful voice in your life? Hallelujah. When we really understand how much we are loved, how much we are valued, and how much it costs for us to understand that. We owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt we did not owe. Amen? Hallelujah. So that through Him we might have life, we might have the joy, the peace, and all of those things that He bought and paid for, that we could receive and understand this morning. Amen? We're going to sing a song this morning. If you're here this morning and you've not experienced that love, if you've not experienced salvation through Jesus and you'd like to come to this altar, we would love to pray with you this morning and celebrate, hallelujah, the love of Jesus in your life. If you have a need this morning and you need prayer this morning, we just open this altar to you. Hallelujah. But as they sing this song, let's just love on Him a little bit this morning. Can we? While the children are come, can we just love on Him a little bit? Hallelujah. The altar's open if you need prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.